Hello everyone and welcome back to F the Patriarchy. Today is really special because I'm always on here ranting about my perspectives and a lot of issues, and I've been looking for someone who had a completely different perspective than I did, and I found him.
Hi.
So we're here today with Quinn. We're just going to introduce Quinn. So Quinn, what is your name?
I'm Quinn, aka DJ Hatsaw. I run the Bravo Sierra show, I guess. Bravo Sierra Hour on Radio Laurier. It's awesome. Can I have you on Friday? Yes?
Yeah, I'm down.
Woo!
We're doing it.
We're doing it. All right.
Okay. So what is, before we begin, just giving backgrounds on both our perspectives, what is the concept of your show to begin with?
Concept of my show, well, there is no concept. It's literally the BS hour. I have anyone from karate specialists uh-huh. to musicians on to, I had my little brother on so we could talk about politics at one point.
I love it.
It was great. So the premise of my show is we get on and we talk about BS. We just shoot the crap, as they say, and I'm cleaning that saying up for the radio, but you know what I mean.
We both don't agree with censorship, so that is something that we agree on. So we are going to be discussing a number of topics, and these topics are very sensitive topics. A lot of people... it riles up a lot of people.
It does.
So we have feminism, we have toxic masculinity, we have white privilege, we have patriotism, immigration, Western values, and free speech, and finally, guns. Something I feel very strongly about, so I am so excited. Like, you don't even know. Okay, so before we begin, we spoke about this before, and we both believe that it is very valuable. Hey, guys. Ooh. We will be, so we both had spoken beforehand, both value free speech a lot, but within limits, you have to be respectful, and although we disagree on everything that we're going to discuss today, that does not take anything away from what I think of Quinn. I think Quinn is an amazing guy, and vice versa.
Yeah, you're fabulous.
Thank you.
Hashtag fabulous.
Compliments for days. Yes. Okay, so let's just dive in then. Ooh. We're going to start off with feminism.
All right, so.
Okay, let's just dissect it before we jump in, because feminism is a huge pool that you can dive in and just drown in.
It is.
What is your definition of feminism?
I think feminism, I personally identify as a first wave feminist.
Okay.
Because 1940s and a little bit into the second wave, mm-hmm. into the second wave feminists as well. Mm-hmm. I believe that feminism should be equal rights for men and women, you know. Mm-hmm. Everyone's treated as equal. Mm-hmm. Everyone has equal opportunity, not equal outcome, mm-hmm. equal opportunity.
Okay.
And I think that originally that's what, you know, feminism was supposed to be. You know, women fighting to vote, women fighting to get birth control, women fighting for all that good stuff. You know, everything that mm-hmm. women deserve. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I think the problem is that's come up today is that it's become more of a identity politics thing.
In what way?
In that feminists nowadays are sort of saying, we're women and we are still oppressed. Now, obviously, I'm a male. I have a penis. Mm-hmm. But so I don't know what exactly is going on in there. But I think that third wave feminism isn't fighting so much for equality, which is obviously what feminism started out as, and it's great, mm-hmm. but starting as more of a attack on
men.
Yes.
So just to backtrack, you agree with the definition of feminism being equal opportunity for both men and women.
Of course. And but I just think it's been...
You think... Okay, so that is an argument that happens a lot. People believe that feminism started off great and now is just a bunch of angry women who just hate on men.
Now, I'm not saying that that's all third wave feminists. Mm-hmm. That's a vocal minority. Mm-hmm. That's a vocal minority. Mm-hmm. But when the vocal minority is very vocal to the silent majority... Mm-hmm. It makes all feminists look that way.
But wouldn't you disagree that within every single movement, there are people who will radicalize it and they'll take it away from the actual narrative that it has?
Of course. I think there are, pardon my language, because I know Britt and I didn't match. Well, I won't say what I was going to say, but there are douchebags in every movement.
Is douchebag censored? I'm going to just record this. Is douchebag a word that we're allowed to say on the air?
I don't know.
Okay. we're going to wait on, I'm just going to keep this here. I'm going to wait on.
I know I've said badass on the air before.
Okay.
I don't know if we're allowed to say douchebag on air.
Okay,
but
that's fair. That's fair. That's fair. I'm at.
Yeah.
Okay.
But but back to the point. I do think there are bad people. Mm-hmm. I think that's more appropriate. There are bad people in every movement. There are bad people in Christianity. Bad people on the right. Bad people on the left. Bad people in all religions. Mm-hmm. Bad people who are atheists. There are bad people all over. Mm-hmm. But I just think that in third wave feminism in particular, that some of the bad people are the the bad people are the most vocal people. Okay. I'm not saying all third wave feminists are bad. Mm-hmm. I know some third wave feminists, like, they're great people. I just disagree with them.
So I don't think that then we necessarily disagree on feminism, because I believe that feminism is equal opportunity for both men and women. I just think that there are people within the narrative that take it and use it to their own advantage. And that messes it up for everyone else. So for example, which something we're going to go into later on, which is white feminism. White women take the narrative of feminism and they make it about them, and that discludes a lot of women of minority.
Yeah.
So that is an issue that I have as well.
Now, the one big issue I have...
Douchebags is fine.
Okay, douchebags is fine.
We can say douchebags.
I can tell someone to douchebag on air. Yes. Small victory for free speech.
Okay, I'm going to just lower your mic a bit.
Okay, sorry. I'm very loud and passionate.
No, you're good. Being passionate is good.
Sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, so what I thought what you meant by you disagree with feminism is that you disagreed with it in general.
No.
But we both agree, because I think that people taking the narrative of feminism and using it for their own good and hating on men is against feminism.
Yeah.
Because it's meant to be...
equal opportunity for everyone.
Yeah. So, okay. So I think that we're good on feminism then.
Yeah. Now, there's one thing I do have a problem with third wave feminism is actually... in the title of your show, The Patriarchy.
Oh, good. We're dissecting the patriarchy. Amazing.
Now, I personally believe that there's no such thing as the patriarchy. Mm. Now, this is obviously coming from my perspective. So,
perfect.
I think it's just a replacement of groups with power with a giant group identity. And I'm very much against group identity on the right and on the left.
Okay. Group identity. So before we go into that, what is your... definition of group identity?
Group identity being, okay, I am a white male.
Male.
I'm a white male. Okay. I identify as this group.
You would be under group identity then a cisgendered white heterosexual male, I'm assuming?
Yes, but that's a whole bunch of different groups in general. But for example, let's take the example of I'm a white male.
Okay.
Well, what type of white male are you? Are you a French white male? Are you a British white male? Are you an American white male? Are you a Canadian white male? There's a whole bunch of different subcategories, and I think when you start dividing people into, say, 7 or 8 different categories, in at least 2 of those categories, you're a bad person.
I don't think that when people, because if we go later on to white privilege, saying that you're a white male does not make you a bad person. It just acknowledges the fact that you have privilege that other people don't have. Yeah. Okay, well, let's go back into patriarchy. So why do you disagree with the term? Why do you not believe that we're living under a patriarchy?
I think that we are living under a sort of a democracy.
Okay, well, patriarchy is under a democracy as well.
And I think that the patriarchy is misconstrued as hierarchies that come into power through horrible moves, and hierarchies then become tyrannies, which then becomes the patriarchy.
Okay, let me dissect the patriarchy from my perspective then.
Okay.
The patriarchy is a system in which a small group of people, specifically white males, are able to keep their power at the expense of everyone else. Now, if we look, and it's men in general, when we talk about patriarchy, men have the privilege in society.
Mm-hmm.
If we look at statistically, who hold the most power in society? The top 1% of the world owns 50% of the world's resources and income. And who are they? They are white males, cisgendered, straight white males. So if you look at political structures, who is always at the top? White males. And it's not without reason. There's a history behind it. So when you look at the history, there's years of colonialism. There's years of racism. And there's years of slavery. So all those things have led to the world that we have today. And that is not to say that white men are evil. It is just describing the situation so that we can fix it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think in Western civilizations, you know, America, Canada, Britain, all those places, our sort of hierarchies, or whatever you want to call them, are based on competence and merit rather than race. Like, say you're... What are you studying in university?
Let's dive into white privilege afterwards. Okay, so we're going to go into white privilege. I study global studies.
All right. So let's say you go all the way with global studies. You'd have a PhD in global studies, and you graduate top of your class.
Okay.
You'd probably be more qualified than me to teach someone about global studies. Yes?
If you did not take global studies, then yes.
I'm taking a languages degree.
Yes, his major is languages. Yes. Okay.
So yes, you are 100% more qualified than me to get a teacher's job in global studies. So if you and I both applied to that global studies job, it makes sense that you get it.
Yes.
And I think in our culture, that's the case. Mm-hmm. And we can dive into this more with when we get into white privilege.
Uh-huh. So you're saying that you think that people in Western civilizations earn things because of the work they put in and not because of their skin color?
Yes.
Okay.
Because there are no laws in any Western countries that factor into, that make race, you know, a factor. In fact, in Canada, we have anti-discrimination laws where it makes it illegal for you to discriminate against what black people, white people, sorry, not white people, Asian people, any minority.
Any minority group.
Yeah. So,
and that is a fair argument to say that we do have anti-discriminatory laws. So why does white privilege exist if these laws are set in place to protect you from that? But it goes, there's more depth to that, Quinn. Mm-hmm. When we talk about white privilege, it negates it. When you say that your race does not doesn't have any addition to your achievements, that's not looking beyond the thing. Mm-hmm. So I am obviously a Middle Eastern woman with the K nationality, but I was born a refugee.
Right.
So getting to Canada for me wasn't the same as you. I had to cross borders, and I had to go through border control, and I had to go through immigration. My socioeconomic status coming into the country was different than yours.
Mm.
So getting into school and getting into university, getting access to healthcare, like speaking English, was different for me than it was for you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say now that my economic situation is good. I'm great.
Mm-hmm.
I can afford to go to university. Other people who haven't had the same advantage that I had would not be able to. So when you are a white person, all those things are laid out for you. Whereas if you are someone of a minority, the access to that is less, and it's harder for you to get it.
Well, I think it'd be the same, not to demean your situation, because I don't know the entire situation.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
But say I moved to Spain.
Mm-hmm.
I speak a little Spanish, but not fluent. I could pick up maybe one word.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to cross borders, get nationality. If I want to do the same thing that you're doing, I have to learn the language, get a job.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why I love my job in the military. A little promo for the military.
Yeah, it's going to be so interesting. We talk about patriotism because Quinn is also in the military. Woo! So, oh my goodness, amazing.
But
yeah.
But it'd be the same sort of experience for me moving from one first world country to another.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not based on, I don't think that's based on a racial group, that's based on just immigration in general.
If we look at the world order, which country is in the top in with regards to the hierarchy? Who has the most opportunities and privilege in the world?
White people, because they make up most of the population in these Western countries.
But it's why do they make up the most population?
Because they immigrated here.
Under what?
I'm not tracking.
So let's talk about Canada specifically. How did white people come to Canada?
On boats. I'm sorry, I'm not a smart human being.
No, that it doesn't have to be about smart. So there is a history to it. White people came to Canada under settler colonialism.
Right.
And slavery as well. There is, the reason that white people are now the majority group has a dark history to it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think if you look at any history in general, it's bad.
History in general is so bad.
Like, I don't...
History, but the thing is that when we talk about history, it's mostly dark, but... If we don't know our history, we can't understand our situation today. Do you agree that history has... We're going so off topic. But
yes, I love it, though.
I have ADHD, so my mind just wanders all the time. Do you agree that history affects the way that we live today?
I'd say so, yes.
So whatever happened in the past has an influence on today?
To an extent. I won't say that it can affect us in major ways,
but there's an effect. So obviously, your childhood affects you into your adulthood. Not entirely, but there are circumstances that affect you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when we talk about white privilege, the opportunities that you had versus an indigenous person, are they the same?
I can't speak for every white person.
Well, when you look back into the sterilization of Indigenous women and you look at the residential schooling systems that happened, when you look into the pipelines that are being put in, when you look into the statistics that around 30% of males in prisons are Indigenous men, does that not raise some flags to you?
It does, but I think there's situational evidence.
Why? What is the situation of it? Do you think that there are specific cases?
Well, statistically speaking, this is coming from Pew Research Foundation, mm-hmm. which is a completely neutral, it's not conservative, it's not liberal mm-hmm. research place. Mm-hmm. They found that lower economic people, mm-hmm. who also maybe are growing...
Why are they in that lower economic situation?
It's obviously something that we need to fix.
It is the history of the settler colonialism. So that right there, does that put you at an advantage versus them?
Well, I think that's like asking a German, hey, are you better off in Germany than... Now, this does not sound really bad.
I
don't think we blame Germans for the Nazis.
That's horrible. I don't think that's the same comparison, because currently in Canada, we are technically on stolen land. Yes or no? Do you believe that?
I personally don't believe that.
Why do you not believe that we are on stolen land?
Because during that time era... Mm-hmm. People went to war all the time.
But so okay.
I will only admit that.
Let's delve into it. Do you know the history of it?
My cousin's actually half Native American, so yes.
Okay, so.
And I had him on my show recently. Go listen to that episode of the Prophecy Hour.
Who happened?
I had him on my show recently.
Oh, okay.
I said
he passed away. My heart
dropped. No. Okay. He's still alive. He's in Ottawa. He's doing great. Okay. Russ, okay. I love you so much.
Okay, that's great. Okay. There were treaties signed that were meant to give, specifically talk about Waterloo and Kitchener,
right.
to, if I'm not mistaken, the
Haudenosaunee.
Yes. So all of us living, we're living on their land. And we're living non-consensually. They did not agree to us living. We have broken pact after pact in treaties with the Indigenous people.
Mm-hmm.
We have came in and we have expelled them. There's been horrific like cases of rape and torture and da 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 da. And we continue to situate ourselves here.
Mm-hmm.
Does that not make it stolen land? It wasn't ours. We came, or specifically, let's talk about white people came from areas of Europe, and they came mm-hmm. to Native America, and they conquered it.
Well, I'd like to point out also that there was war here before white people came. We just came with bitter guns.
The thing is, war is a circumstance that will always happen in different ways, different weaponry, different arsenal, different situation. But the specific scenario now is settler colonialism.
Mm-hmm.
Do we not live on a settler colonial land?
We do live on a land that was settled on by white people with better, like, technology.
Okay, so I need to, like, know more. What is your perspective on colonialism in general?
My perspective on colonialism is that nowadays, probably can't do it.
There is modern-day colonialism.
There is, and I don't agree with that.
Okay, what is your perspective on the past colonialism?
I think... Back in the day, that's what they did. Now we can both agree that past practices probably not good.
Wait, yes? so just, and this is obviously, I completely like, yeah. Say whatever you want to say. There's no judgment, it's understanding. So yeah. You think that the past colonialism was just a way of life and it was fine?
Yes. No, I'm not saying it was okay. I'm not saying it was okay, mm-hmm. but I'm saying it's what they did. Now, I think we can agree that past practices, when we look at them, look at them by now, like we said before, history's messed up.
Yeah.
If we look back at any point in history, we can say, ooh, not so good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, if we judged every part of history, it would look bad. Like, George Washington owns
Don't even get me into American politics. I have okay, so I won't, many
but I'm just saying, I'm just using that as an example. George Washington created America, did a whole bunch of good stuff, but owned slaves. He's still a good guy, but he made a poor choice.
I would disagree on being a good guy, but...
Okay, but you know what I mean. Like, there are good people that make bad decisions. I don't think that...
I think saying that someone was good who owned slaves is kind of...
I'm not saying slavery is good. Slavery is obviously bad.
I understand that you think that. I'm not saying that you think that slavery is good. I'm saying that... When we look into our history, and even like with regards to America and the Confederate flag and what that stands for,
yeah.
or even when we look at statues of figures that are idolized and who own slaves, I disagree with saying that they were good, but they had bad decisions.
Okay, because I'm with you on the Southern flag part. Don't like that.
Yeah, no, but even when we look into presidents as well and like the past, having a dark past does not mean that it is, when we say that, oh, the history is dark, that's just factual. History is dark. But what I like to look at history is I like to take from it and learn from it.
Me too.
So what I'm trying to go into with the colonialism is whatever happened in the past with regard to settler colonialism still impacts people today. And that, because it's not that far off. It's not like we're talking about like 5,000 years ago. It's pretty...
We're talking about 300 years.
Yeah, though. It's 300 years of colonialism, and it's pretty recent as well. Mm-hmm. So it's deeply ingrained into our systems. Just like when we talk about slavery, there was a hierarchy between African Americans or black people and white people. Mm-hmm. That hierarchy is still present today.
Well, if... I actually have an example of this. Mm-hmm. If the hierarchy existed against black people,
okay.
You know, mm-hmm. Nigerian blacks mm-hmm. and people from Ghana mm-hmm. as well.
Ghana?
Ghana, yes, thank mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. Again, horrible with pronunciations.
You're good.
They make, their households make more than the average white household.
Where is this statistic from?
I believe this is...
And is this the States or Canada? And
this is from the States.
Okay.
This is the average Nigerian and Ghanaian black households make about $61,000 and $57,000 respectively, where a white household in the U.S. makes about $53,000 respectively.
I see. That's the thing, is that that is a very specific example, and you took a specific Nigerians. You did not say African Americans in general.
But
if I can give you statistics on African Americans in general, and they make around $7,000 to $9,000 in the U.S. as opposed to $100,000 with white families.
But what I'm saying is, if the patriarchy against black people did exist, this shouldn't be happening at all.
Because you can't take very small examples and generalize them. You have to look at the overall picture. If the overall picture had said that, then I could say you're right. But that's just a very, very small example.
Okay.
Because what you have to look at, what percentage do Nigerian people make up in the U.S.? And that could be like 0.001%. So that statistic is just completely... Whereas when you say black people versus white people, then that is a fair comparison. And I can give mm-hmm. the statistic, and I can give it to you as well for Latino people. And it's a crazy statistic. And it was even to the extent, Quinn, where it was if a white person and a black person both went to a university, and the black person had saved, paid off his entire debt, had done everything perfectly, he would still earn less than the average white male. And that's because it's inherited. For example, white people come from good socioeconomic backgrounds. They have houses. They have their parents help them with regards to their education. They have a good social structure that allows them different opportunities and more opportunities, whereas a person of color or a person of minority would not have those same opportunities because of the situation that they're in. And the fact that they're in that situation is not their fault. They're in that situation because of the history.
Now, there's also the factor of, I'm not saying this is just a black problem, not just a white problem, but mm-hmm. Statistically speaking, people who are raised in single-parent households mm-hmm. Are disproportionately more likely to drop out of university, not get an education.
That's perfect. Let's talk about the single-parent household. The single-parent household is a problem because a lot of, specifically black men from the U.S. are incarcerated, and they're incarcerated because of the brutal police violence against them, and they are targeted. Let's go into depth. What do you think about the Black Lives Matter movement?
I think it comes from a place of caring. People care about black people, obviously. I care about everyone.
Okay.
Not hateful about my body.
Would you say with the All Lives Matter movement instead?
Yes, but it's because mm-hmm. the Black Lives Matter movement, I think, has some misrepresentations. For example,
what misrepresentations?
According to Pew Research Foundation, I'll go back to these guys a lot because mm-hmm. I know they're unbiased mm-hmm. and they won't be influenced by politics. Mm-hmm. White people mm-hmm. nowadays, mm-hmm. because of the racial tension, are more likely to be shot than black people.
Are more likely to be shot.
On average, by police.
I can pull you up so many statistics that would prove otherwise. It is disproportional, the amount of violence. And has there ever been any situation, let me ask you this, Quinn, where there has been a cop that has shot a white child?
I'm not aware of any situation that has been broadcasted.
There has never, because people would be enraged. That is just a normal social outcry. But there has been countless scenarios where cops shoot black children. So you can't tell me that cops are targeting whites more than blacks. in that scenario. It's not true.
And, well, I don't think and cops are intentionally.
Let's talk about when they saw, I think it's Travis Martin, when they saw him with a toy gun and he was 13 or 14 and the police shot him down without even approaching him. And how you believe in guns, right?
I'm a gun owner. Okay. I own shotguns for hunting.
So you believe that you should carry your gun. This child was.
Hold on. I don't believe that I should be carrying my gun everywhere. I'd like to put that out of the way.
Okay, like that. We'll talk about. So he doesn't believe in that. But we'll put that aside. But anyways, as a child, I had a toy gun. I had a toy water squirt, whatever you call it. Imagine me being fearful for my own life. I can't even carry a toy with me because the police is going to target me and shoot me.
Here, let me. Can I just throw an example out there?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let me. Let's say I'm just walking down Ezra Street. It's St. Paddy's Day. Mm. I've had a couple drinks.
Okay.
I take out a toy gun. Police are a few hundred feet away. Mm-hmm. I start waving around in the air like, look at me, like a moron.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they're going to come up to me and start talking to me? Probably not. They're going to think, holy crap, that guy has a gun. Put the gun down. I'm drunk. I don't listen.
Do you think they're going to shoot you, though? Because there has been countless cases and evidence that shows that when white people have guns or white people are in aggressive situations, police will never shoot and they'll never resort to that. Whereas if it's a person of color or a black person specifically, the first instinct is to shoot.
I can actually speak to this. My uncle is a police in the Chinatown police force.
Mm-hmm.
And their first reaction, they're trained to do this. And obviously there are bad apples in it. We said at the top of the show,
mm-hmm.
bad apples everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Police are trained not to shoot unless they feel as though they are physically threatened. So if I'm taking out a gun, a toy gun, real gun, whatever, waving it around like a moron.
But this is a child we're talking about. You're giving an example of a grown man versus a child with a toy gun.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and we'll look into more. So police are taught not to shoot and that shooting is the last option. But as you can see over and over again, unless they're in what situation you said, to quote you?
A life-threatening scenario. Life-threatening scenario.
And if we look at these interviews with these cops or when they're in court, and they always say, I felt life-threatened, why do they not feel as threatened when they're in the presence of a white male or a white female versus a black male or female?
I can't speak to that because...
So, but that's the thing. If there is countless... If it keeps recurring and recurring and recurring, you have to speak to the situation. There's obviously something going on.
Well, I don't think it's...
Cops respond differently to white versus black.
Well, there I don't think it's all cops, first off.
People in general, that's the thing. It's an ingrained problem. People in general, black people or people of color, face more social stigma, more stereotypes than white people do. Yes or no?
I don't know. I think there are a couple stereotypes I can name off the top of my head about white people.
Your stereotypes, do they impact your life in a way that you're fearful from the people who are supposed to protect you?
If you were
to ask, and this is an issue that happens in Toronto as well, carding, where the police comes and will stop black people or people of color. If you'll ask any black person or person of color, are you fearful of the cops? They'll always say yes. And I don't want to speak on their behalf, but that's just a common thing. You'll hear it in songs of NW, like F the police, F the popo. People don't like the cops.
Which I think is a bad thing because cops are here to protect us.
Exactly.
Cops are here to make sure that that idiot down the street dealing meth gets arrested. Cops are here to make sure that our communities are safe. I don't think people should be afraid of the cops. I'm not afraid of my uncle.
Then why are they afraid of the cops?
I think it's because the media, when they do see something that is... Hold on. Let me finish.
Okay, perfect. Sorry. Yes.
Sorry. I think that there are some media stations. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say, it's all fake news. I'm not Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But I think some media stations will see something that is going to get clickbait. It's not be, a white police officer shot a black man. This can get us attention because it's going to raise racial tensions. People see that. They blow it out. They'll see that, put on the news front line, and then the black people think, oh no, I'm being targeted by the police. So that'll instill fear. And I think there are some cases where people are racist, and those cops need to be dealt with accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think police as a whole are targeting black people in particular.
So when you say it is a media thing, let's talk about your specific saying social media, right?
Social media, Twitter, Facebook, all that.
Well, then... social media and Twitter and Facebook is a relatively new concept.
Yes.
There is a history. If we look into like old rap songs before the invention of social media in the beginning, there has always been a dislike towards the police, and black people have always felt scared of the police. How would you explain that then?
You mean in the 80s and 90s when police actually might have been racist?
So why were they maybe racist then but not racist now?
In like the 40s, 50s, 60s, they had obviously segregation, Jim Crow laws, things like that that we don't have today, thank goodness.
So do you think that the fact that there is a law, that means that it doesn't exist anymore because that law is in place?
I think racism still exists, but that's why I'm a huge proponent of free speech. I think that people should be allowed to say stuff and say, so I can walk up to you and say, hey, that's not right.
Okay,
here's why.
Let's just backtrack a little bit. So 40s, 50s, segregation, Jim Crow, a bunch of racist things that were put in place that were legal. Yes. Now there are laws against it.
Yes, and even those that would benefit minorities.
Okay.
In Canada, at least. Can't speak to America.
So you're saying that in the 80s and the 90s, before social media, people who had felt targeted by police, those were correct because the cops were racist in the 80s and the 90s?
Yes, because of the rules set in place by the government. But
now, what rules were in the 80s and 90s? I'm just intrigued.
Can't name them off the top of my head.
I don't think that laws differentiated between the 80s and 90s between today. Maybe in the 40s, 50s, but between 80s and 90s till 2000, we're in 2019. That kind of like 30, 20-year gap, there hasn't been any major changes in the laws.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have seen some, you know, anti-discrimination laws come up recently, but
having a law does not take away from it happening. Does that make sense? So if there, for example, if there is a law that protects you from smoking weed, if weed was illegal, do you think that people would stop smoking weed?
Probably not.
Okay, so having laws does not mean that it does not exist.
Yes, but I think laws are good deterrents. For example,
let's go back into it. Have any of these police officers who have killed innocent black men and women and children been held accountable?
Pretty sure there were a few that were, but there were some that were released.
Give me one that was held accountable, please.
I can't name one off the top of my head.
I don't know either, because none have been held accountable.
To say that none have been held accountable is, I think, sort of a blanket statement.
I think it's,
but we don't know the entire situation of every single black person.
I have not found one police officer who has shot and killed a black person that has been held accountable. Whereas if it is vice versa, every scenario that a black person is in, they're always vilified. And they'll always, it's not innocent until proven guilty with them. It's always guilty, guilty, guilty. Whereas where it's a cop who has done the same thing, but he's in the side of the law and he's in the side to protect, he's always given excuses or she's always given excuses.
Well, I think we have to look at every single scenario.
We do, but I agree that specific scenarios change. We have to look at specifics in context, but when it's a recurring event that keeps happening, does that not tell you that there's a pattern and a pattern has some underlining systemic issues?
Well, I think, I know I say this a lot, but I don't think cops are racist. I don't think the laws enable them to shoot black people or any minority for that matter. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that they're just going willy-nilly seeing a black guy that threatens them, taking them down. I don't think that's the case.
So why do white officers keep shooting black people?
I think it's because of neighborhoods that, unfortunately, black people are living in, and we need to do whatever it takes to make those places better, give them better schools that they can't attend. Mm-hmm. Help them in that way so we can make those communities better because those communities are impoverished.
What about the communities make them targets to be killed?
In the scenarios that I've seen, can't speak to every scenario, but in the scenarios that I've seen, they were in lower middle class places, lower economic places.
So I, growing up, was in a lower middle economic, maybe even lower than middle economic situation. I've never been fearful for my life. What does that make me different than a black person?
It doesn't.
Then why are they fearful from the cops, whereas I'm not fearful from the cops?
Because I think they've, unfortunately, grown up in that place where it's typical to see cops arresting your buddy down the street and then at the same time trying to be a good person.
I think arresting is different than shooting.
Yeah.
My issue is with killing, because at the rate that it's happening, it's a form of genocide from how recurring it is. And genocide is a strong word, but when there's a specific race that's being targeted and consistently vilified and killed, I'd call it a genocide, because it doesn't happen to anyone else but them. And it always happens from white officers.
Does it? Because I'm pretty sure in a couple scenarios, I've seen black officers arresting black people
that were very aggressive. Arresting is a different scenario. I'm talking about killing.
I forget what scenario. Sorry for interrupting
you. You're perfect. Go ahead.
Sorry. But in one scenario, I forget which scenario it was. Made the news. Mm-hmm. One guy, unfortunately, he was shot. Mm-hmm. But they were screaming, "You're an effing part of the problem. You're part of the effing patriarchy," all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Even though three of the four officers that were trying to detain the guy and not trying to kill him were black.
I think that, first of all, that is a very specific example. And number two, the fact that they're black police officers does not negate the fact that the system within itself is primarily white and primarily gives power to white individuals. Hmm. And the killing is done by white individuals. And there's always cases where people within your own ethnic group don't support you, if that makes sense. That's a whole different discussion.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so, okay, agree to disagree.
Agree to disagree.
You don't agree that there is, that black people are specifically targeted by cops.
No, I think it's...
Okay, well, then let me give you a statistic. What does the statistic tell you? That in Toronto, a black person driving in a car is, I think the statistic was, I'm not very sure, 4 times more likely to be pulled over than a white person.
Well...
Where there's no evidence of anything going on.
Well, I would come back to you with the stat that police were not had to be stopped taking stats about crime reports in the late 1980s, early 1990s. Mm-hmm. So this was, who are you arresting? Why are you arresting them?
It isn't arresting. Carding is different. It's okay. Just that, oh, what's going on? Pull down your window.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's the statistic.
Okay.
So what does that tell you? Well, there's nothing going on. The license plate is fine. The headlights are both working. They're good. What does that tell you?
Well, I would say that, let me just get back to the statistic. Mm-hmm. People, in 1993 with the crime, I think that's the last time they took statistics, not 100%. Mm-hmm. But it was stated that, unfortunately, black people were committing more of the crime, statistically speaking. But, obviously, that could have changed from 1993. I think if that's the last time that statistics were taken and police are running off those statistics, then there may be some racial problems and we need to bring back the statistics to say, oh, it's not black people committing the crime anymore. It's, I don't know, another group.
I have issue with saying that black people are targeted more because they are statistically more, are they statistically more likely to commit crimes? Because
that's based on an old stat, so it could be completely different now.
Okay, well, put that aside. It's just that when we talk about these statistics, we negate the fact that there is history to why they're in that situation.
There is history, yes. I'm willing to admit that there was history.
The thing is, white people take advantage of the fact. They benefit from that, whereas a black person has to continue to suffer. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
I get what you're trying to say.
The circumstance that you're in, all these scenarios that people of color or minority groups or black people have to go through, you've never had to go through that. And they have to go on it in a continuous basis. And when you talk about it and you say, this doesn't exist, you're just speaking your mind. I have that privilege as well. We're just speaking our mind. We're just here discussing, you know? It doesn't really impact us. I'm not going to get carded by the police. I'm not, like, wearing hijab. I'm Muslim. I'm not wearing the hijab. Yeah. I'm not the typical figure. I could pass for white in some scenarios. So when we're talking about it, it doesn't impact our lives. It's not a life or death situation. Mm-hmm. It's not something that's really harming us. Whereas for them, it is a life and death situation.
Right.
It is, I'm fearful of the police, where a mother would tell her child, be careful from the police.
And I don't think they should do that. I think they should say, listen, the police are here to help you. But I know my uncle's
but
here
they
to
don't,
help.
But your uncle, God bless his soul, is one person who I genuinely believe that he's trying to do his best and he's trying to be a good cop. But he doesn't represent everyone.
And neither do the guys that shoot black people.
That continue to do it. Do you think that patterns show something?
Yes.
So if something is recurring, what does that tell you?
It tells me that it's a problem. But I think that also places like Twitter and Facebook tend to also blow them out of proportion.
Twitter and Facebook is an element to it. It's a new way of us to release social, like release news, and it's a way that things get hyped up a lot and da 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 da. But it doesn't negate the fact that it still happens. Mm. And then, because I don't like to just take things off Twitter and Facebook, I like to go into statistics. And the statistics say otherwise. The statistics say that this is a continuous problem. Yeah. So, like, let's just focus on one thing. What does it tell you that it is a continuous problem? What does that tell you?
Well, it would tell me that, hypothetically, if I thought that it was an issue, it would tell me that we need to address it. Now, I don't believe that. I believe that it is a minor issue.
But what? But why is it minor when there are people that die because of it?
I think it's minor because not all police officers are racist. Most police officers want to help their community, want to support everyone, are not racist.
Is death, is like taking someone's life minor to you?
No. Even I'm in the army. Taking someone's life, it will never be minor to me.
So statistically speaking, let's say that out of every 1,000 person, one person dies. Is that minor to you?
A life is a life. Okay. I care about everyone's life equally.
Perfect. So then when we say that there are statistics that cops continue to kill black people on a recurring basis with no... And there are video cameras that are released later on because cops have to wear them.
The body cams.
The body cams that show that there has been no resistance, that there was no weapons, that there was no reason to. What does that tell you? And that these people are still being killed and these cops as well are not being held accountable. Does that pattern speak to you in any way?
I think we need to learn the entire situation before we
What is the entire situation?
I don't know for every scenario what's happening. For example, this is an example of where we didn't know the entire situation. Mm-hmm. So we're not. Jesse Smollett, did you hear what happened with him?
Yes, but that's the thing. I don't like specific cases. Yeah. If there was recurring Jesse Smollett cases, if that kept happening, then I'd be like, let's talk about that. Okay, this is an issue. But it is a one scenario. If I told you that cops were targeting black people and you were like, okay, that's a one recurring thing, that's one scenario, that's a specific scenario, then that would be an argument.
And I'm not saying that some police officers, some people are racist. I think we can both agree some people are racist.
I think a lot of people are racist.
I think racism still exists, but I don't think a lot of people are racist. And if they are, I want to talk to them so that I can change their mind. But I think that there are some cases where you're right. Black people were unfairly targeted and died because of it.
Why were they okay, then that's good. Then why are they targeted?
I don't know why they were targeted. But
you do know why, Quinn. Why was the black person targeted and not the white person?
I think it's because that police officer might have been racist.
Okay. That's good too. You're right. We're not generalizing here.
No.
So the cases that white officers killed black people, they were racist. And that is an issue that is recurring.
Mm-hmm.
What does that tell you?
I don't want to say that it's an issue because obviously, it is an issue when a racist cop targets a black person.
If we don't say that it's an issue, how can we ever fix it?
I think we need to do, I'll say it again. We need to go on a case-by-case basis because there are some cases, cop was racist, shot the black guy, that cop needs to be dealt with.
But the cop is not dealt with recurringly.
And then we see, he's not being dealt with? We need to, guys.
But nothing's going to happen because the structure, the patriarchy, is set in place to protect him. But that the same structure is not set in place to protect that person of minority. Do you agree that white people get it easier off?
I'll use myself as an example. I'm a white guy.
Mm-hmm.
The only way I got it easier off is because my dad worked his butt off forever and got me the opportunity I did. He did not come from a good household.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going into the details because that's his story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't come from, a good off family or whatever. He was able to work hard, paid for his own education through hard work, got his PhD, and then he was able to support me through university.
Mm-hmm.
I love my dad because of that, and obviously because he's my dad.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll admit that that is some privilege that I have. But that has nothing to do with my race. Anyone with hard work can do that. You can do that. You're a smart lady. You're a genius.
Oh,
you
my
can,
oh my goodness, look at that.
When you have kids, you are going to be able to put your kids through university because you worked hard.
Okay.
And
I love that argument, because when we talk about white privilege, the argument is there that, oh, just because I'm white does not mean that all the accomplishments that I've had today are attributed to my race. And that is true, and that is a valid argument. But this issue is when you versus a minority person are put in similar scenarios or at different stages in life, you will not face most of the obstacles that that person will face. And that's what white privilege is. White privilege is, let's talk about white privilege. White privilege is a person that has a dark skin tone, entering a beauty supply store and finding out that their shade isn't there, whereas there's 5,000 shades of white and there's 2 shades of darker skin complexion. White privilege is when all the media portrayals of Barbie dolls or of kids, like little children, babies, are all white and none of them are black. White privilege is going into a store and having... white privilege is going on the media and finding out that people... that when your kind is talked about, they're always vilified, whereas as a white person, they're commendable and they're praised. White privilege is deeply ingrained in the system. So when we say it does not mean that whatever you worked for, you don't earn. It just that means that whatever you got was easier to come by.
Mm-hmm.
Do you...
I understand where you're coming from.
Mm.
But I think some of that is because, like I said before, white people are the majority in Western civilization.
Okay, even when you say majority, it does not negate the fact that there is... like, let's talk about statistics, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go into U.S. statistics, black versus white.
We're going on the internet, folks.
Okay. U.S., let's say population. Oh, no, my mic just muted a little bit.
Uh-oh.
It's okay. We shall fix it. Okay.
Technology.
U.S. population.
Those headphones.
I am very technologically deficient.
No, it's not you. That same thing happened to me last week with my headphones. That headphone port just sucks.
I'm also I'm also very jumpy. So.
Well, you're passionate, which is good.
Oh no, I move a lot. I think it's the ADHD that's talking. Okay.
Right.
U.S. population, black versus white. Okay. So we're gonna say that. Let's look at it. Okay. This is the unions. This is, let's look at a different statistic. What percentage of the population is black? Okay, 12.3% is black and 12.5% is Hispanic.
Right.
Okay.
So that's 24.8% of minority.
Uh-huh.
Math.
Okay, I'm not sure when this statistic was taken from. Okay, so... they are the minority group, and minority group says right. More than just the number. Minority means that they have less privilege, but which you disagree on.
Yes.
Okay, so they're about, let's round it up, 13% of the population. How long have they existed within the same time span of white people in the same area?
With the same privilege or different privileges?
No,
are we including slavery in this, or?
Oh, no, we're not talking about privilege. We're talking about have they both existed within the same time frame together. So it's not like they suddenly came, and now it's like, oh, we have a new demographic that we have to attain to.
I think it's, you know,
they've both
similar.
They've both been there within the same time frame.
Almost the same time frame, yeah. pretty much the same time.
Literally the same time frame.
Yes.
They've been there within the same time frame. So when black people cannot find a foundation, or people with darker complexion cannot find a foundation for their skin tone, does that not tell you that they are disregarded? What does that tell you?
I think it tells me that there's a huge market for companies that say, hey, you got a whole demographic here, and I think companies are just being idiots.
Why are the companies being idiots?
I don't know.
Because black people are disregarded. They're not taken within the same value as a white person.
See, I don't really know what to say that, because if I'm a white guy.
Yeah.
So when I say something, it can be considered as racist, unfortunately. Now, I don't think that companies are disregarding black people in any way. And I'll say this, it's very unfortunate that, you know, they don't have their things. And I think that's somewhere that companies need to improve.
It's not even that, Quinn. It's even when you go to, like, Walmart and you're trying to buy shampoo. Your hair texture is very different than a person who has more coarse or curly hair.
What little hair I have.
Your hair complexion, your hair texture is different. There isn't even shampoos, unless it's a tiny little corner that supply it to people who have different hair complexions. It's just when you have an entire store that segregates the minority into an entire little compartment without any options, it tells you that there's a systemic problem. That white people are seen as the normal and the common, whereas minority groups aren't.
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no?
Yes, because, and this does not sound bad, because they are the minority.
But 12% or 13% of a population, and if we add Hispanics to that, 25% of a population is not that small. That is a huge chunk of a population, a it quarter is. Of a population. And when we look into how much access they have to basic essentials, it's literally nothing. And now it's changing because people of a color or minorities have been able to speak up and demand this change. And it's only when white people speak on their behalf is things are taken seriously and taken into account.
Mm-hmm.
What does that tell you?
It tells me that we need to work together as people in order to...
But that tells you that there is a big hierarchy in the social system, that you are given things that other people aren't given, not with regards to economic things. As a white person, you are given more free passes than a person of color.
And I'm going to be repetitive because I like repetition, but it's because I don't want to say I look normal because I'm not normal. But in this culture, white people are the majority.
Okay, and?
And obviously, minorities do have different struggles than white people.
Okay, why do they have those struggles?
I won't say it's because of discrimination. It's because of what their life scenarios. Everyone has their own different struggles.
Okay, I would love to focus on that. When you say that what minority groups have more struggles than white people because of their economic scenarios. Yes? Why are they in that situation in the first place?
Because demographically speaking, unfortunately,
uh-huh.
Black people drop out of university more
than... Why? Why? But
I don't know.
You can't give me statistics and not tell me what the underlying problem is. I can tell you why. I can tell you why there are more high school dropouts in black schools. I can tell you that when a black child or a person of color, let's talk about the school system, sits in a classroom and all the figures on the wall are white. History that they are taught is very Eurocentric and only targeted towards white people. Their teachers, 90% of preschool to like second, like kindergarten teachers are primarily white. What does that tell you?
Well, they're also predominantly women, so.
No, but what does that tell you? What does that person feel in that scenario?
They might feel left out. I see where you're coming from. They could feel left out.
Okay. Also, they come from economically hard situations because of the history.
Mm-hmm.
Does that not give you a privilege over a black person or a person of color?
I think as long as someone is willing to work hard, pull up their boots.
But it's with math and with statistics, nothing is biased here. If a black person was to work as hard as you're saying, save up all their money, pay off all their loans, at the end of the day, they would not make as much as a white person.
Well, I know I have guys in my military unit in St. Thomas. They went through the same stuff as me. They worked just as hard. They get paid exactly the same as me.
It's not about one person has that, so that means that everyone has that. It's talking about the collective, when most people
be illegal under Canada law.
When we talk about the wage gap, it's not because your employer is going to look at your race and say, okay, I'm going to give you 5 cents and I'm going to give him 10. It's because of the situations that have led up to it that haven't been able to give the same opportunity. Okay, let's talk about opportunity then. Do you and a black person have the same opportunities?
Depends where that black person is coming from.
Just in general.
I can't say because I don't know everyone's scenario.
Well, if there wasn't an underlying issue, then you'd be able to say yes.
No.
Why?
Because I am Quinn Hastel. I am me.
Mm-hmm.
If I walked up to, I don't know, John Smith on the street and say, hey, how'd you become a billionaire? He has a different opportunity than me because he's a billionaire. If I walked up to another guy on the street and say, hey, how, you know, everyone has different scenarios to help to their own life, so I can't really compare myself to someone else. regardless of race, sex, creed, whatever.
Okay. Well, we're just going to wrap up white privilege because we're almost out of time. It's 2:40.
Oh, wow.
And we just stuck on white privilege.
Wow.
But I would love to have you again. And I think that we should, the next time, have a specific thing. And I would love to ask people what they would like to hear. I think we should delve more into the Black Lives Matter movement and cops because you have a background in the military.
Yes.
I'd love to talk to you about later on patriotism. And nationalism, which are very different things.
I'd love
to talk to you about gun laws. I'd love to talk to you about the military, because recently Canada has been proposed, I think it was $6 billion, to renew their fighter jets, to update their fighter jets. And the argument is, should we be putting that money into the military, or should we be putting it into different things like climate change and healthcare and the education system?
All very important.
Yes. So that is a whole different discussion, but I'm very intrigued.
Maybe we can talk about it more of a Sierra hour.
Oh, we could do that then. We could do that then. So it is unfortunately 2:40 p.m., so we went over time, but it was very intriguing.
Yes.
I've had such an amazing time talking to you,
Corey. I've had a great time talking to you.
I genuinely do, and although we disagree, I just have to say it again, because I don't think people are used to having people talk about different things and being like, I still like you, and I still think you're a good person. I think people just vilify people right away, being like, oh, you're conservative, you're this, you must be A, B, C, and D.
You must think that... You must be a racist, sexist, homophobic person.
Exactly.
No,
that's not. We can agree to disagree as long as that nothing that we're saying is outwardly hurtful or harming anyone.
Yeah.
We still have to talk about free speech later on. There's so many that we have to dive into. We didn't even get into toxic masculinity.
Oh, I know.
Oh, my goodness. But we will talk about
it next time. I had an entire speech about that. It was going to be great.
Oh, no. Okay, so when is your show?
Every Friday at 1 p.m.
Okay, and what can they expect to hear?
A whole lot of Bravo Sierra.
Okay, so BS. He loves to talk about a variety of things and nothing in particular. But we're going to close off. We didn't even have breaks or anything. No sound, like song. I had Tupac and Nas put up. But we will sign out. Thank you so much for coming, Quinn.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I'm honored.
It was such an amazing experience. And I will leave you guys with Into My Arms. And we are going to sign off.
Catchy.